Okay. Well, you need to go to Colossians, the book of Colossians. We're going to carry on in the book of Colossians. And for Martin and Emma's sake, I'm busy preaching a series on living out the reality of our faith. Now, this, all I'm saying to God's people is, it's easy to confess Jesus Christ and believe the Bible, but do we live according to the Word of God? That's very important. And so we call to examine ourselves and our lives to see that we do what the Word of God says. And so this morning, I'd like to read to you from verse 25 through to verse 27. This is Paul speaking to the Christians there at Colossae in Asia Minor, and he says, I have become its servant. He's the servant of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. You see, that's his commission, to give to the Church the Word of God with great accuracy in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. This morning, this is my theme. Are we living in the reality of Jesus Christ? So far, we have considered, if you can remember, the imperial Christ. I've told you and I've emphasized that the Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign King of the universe. He is the imperial Christ. We look at the world and it looks like it's in a mess, but I can assure you, God is in absolute control. And he's steering this world to his own desired end. And there's a day coming when he's going to return and he's going to set up his kingdom and he's going to abolish all sin and unbelief and Satan and the curse he's going to remove. And this earth will be covered in righteousness as the waters cover the sea. And every knee will bow to him and every tongue will confess, because the Father has glorified his Son. That's where we're heading. But he is the imperial Christ. And because he is the imperial Christ, he is our confidence. He's our confidence, my brothers and sisters. Then we consider the incarnate Christ. The incarnate Christ who is our peace. And then the third truth that we learn this morning is that he is the indwelling Christ who is our hope. And so far, we've looked at the imperial Christ. We've looked at the incarnate Christ, and this morning we're considering the indwelling Christ. Now, the indwelling Christ is a very important truth. And I want to ask you this morning, is the indwelling Christ your hope? Because in verse 27, which is my text, we read these words. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the saints, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The abundant glory of this hope, brothers and sisters, can only be made known to us through God's revelation. Verse 27a. God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory. It's the riches of the glory of this mystery. And when we look at this word mystery, it's not like the world understands mystery. In the New Testament, the word mystery refers not to that which is unknown. That's not what the word mystery means. Rather, it means that which is knowable only because God has revealed it to us. That's the word mystery. And here we are told what this riches and glorious truth is concerning this mystery. You know what it is? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The indwelling Christ, my brothers and sisters, is our hope. In Timothy, we're told that it's Jesus Christ himself who is our hope. Listen to what Paul says in Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Oh, that's beautiful. And so this morning, my brothers and sisters, let us consider some of the riches of this indwelling Christ. The first thing we learn is that the indwelling Christ is our provision. Verse 27b, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the emphasis here is not on theory of Christ. It's not on the doctrine of Christ, but it's on his person. It's Christ in you. This is a personal provision. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now you, my brothers and sisters, must be careful how you read the different titles to deity in the Bible, because they are not just fancy names, but carry meaning about the person of God. These titles to God say something about his person, about his attributes, about his character, about his nature, and about his work. And so remember that when you see the term Christ who's dwelling you, indwelling you, you immediately think of the Messiah. Why do I say that? Because in Greek, the word Christ or Christos means the anointed one. That's the one who's indwelling you. Christos, the anointed one, which is the equivalent to the Old Testament Messiah, the Mashiach. So for thousands of years, the prophets and the people of God are waiting for the Mashiach to arrive, the anointed one. Now this one indwells us. He's arrived and he lives in us, my brothers and sisters, which is a very, very precious truth. The name of Christ makes you think of that full mediatorial work of Jesus as the prophet and the priest and the king. He's the one who indwells us as the supreme king. He's also the prophet who reveals to us God's way and God's word and God's will. And he is the priest who intercedes for us right now, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And so all these words, prophet, priest, and king, are subsumed in the very word Christ, who is our provision. Now you need to think about that carefully. If the Christ is your provision, well, what do you lack? What does Jesus Christ lack? What does he not have? Because this is the reality of the Christian faith. You might not feel it. You might not experience it. But it's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. And so this morning, may our faith be strengthened in this truth. Christ is our provision. Christ himself. This imperial king, this incarnate king, the indwelling Christ, he's our provision. But, my brothers and sisters, the indwelling Christ is not just our provision. That's certainly very important. You know, the indwelling Christ is also our possession. Yes, because verse 27b says, it is Christ in you. Not out there or around you, it's Christ in you. And this is what makes the difference between religion and Christianity. Not so. This is what makes the difference between doctrine and saving knowledge. You can have a lot of knowledge. You can go to university and you might not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It is Christ in you. And here's the question that I pose to you this morning. Is Christ in you? Are you born again of the Holy Spirit? Do you know Jesus Christ savingly? Is he your Lord and your Savior? And do you love him and obey him and live for him? Because that's what it means when you say he's your Lord and your Savior. And so Paul is talking here about a relationship, is he not? When we speak about Christ as being our possession, Paul is speaking about a relationship. He's speaking about a communion, a fellowship with God that's real and living and personal.
and is vital. This is our experience as Christians.
In John 14 verse 23, I meditated a bit on this verse this week. Jesus answered and said to them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him." It says, we love the Lord and obey him, the Father and the Son come and indwell us in the Holy Spirit, and we share his presence, his warmth, his comfort, his peace. You know all those attributes that you find, the security in a home? Well, God makes his home inside of us. And that's how we walk and live with our God every day. That's true, my brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus says. We will make our home with him. How personal can you get? What warmth? And this is the essence of salvation, if you think about it carefully. Salvation is a vital, life-sharing union with Jesus Christ. Salvation is an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing less. And it's a union that is living, it's spiritual, it's dynamic, and it's personal. It's the inward appropriation of the historic person, Jesus of Nazareth. One theologian says it like this. Now, I can't improve on this, so I'm going to quote him. Christ is welcomed in the soul by repentance. Christ is enthroned in the heart by faith. Christ is enjoined in our life by us surrendering and obeying him. I think those words are true. In other words, there is love, surrender, submission, faith, obedience. All these factors are involved in our salvation. Salvation affects our entire being. And so what have I said so far? Let me just recap for you. First of all, I said that the indwelling Christ is our provision. Then I said the indwelling Christ is our possession. But I don't want to stop there. Thirdly, I want to say that the indwelling Christ is our prospect. Three P's: provision, possession, and prospect. Because in verse 27, we read these words, that he is the hope of glory. What an incredible statement. This truth should lift our souls in amazement and wonder. Because literally it means that if Christ is the hope of my glory, that my future is absolutely guaranteed and secure. I'm heading, and so are you, as a Christian, for glorification. And there's nothing that can prevent that. I'm going to live in a body, it's true, that is immortal and incorruptible. Oh yes. And I'm going to enjoy all the riches of my God as my very own forever and ever. Amen. And so because of this wonderful truth, this world can't hold me back. This world can't entice me. I'm not interested in the worldliness that the world offers. The world can come to me with all the gold and all the silver and all the oil and all the diamonds and all the property. But it's God who is my life. And you know, if you think about that carefully, if you have the Lord, as you're sitting here, if the Lord is your prospect, really, really, you have everything. Because everything and the fullness of the earth belongs to the Lord. And the Lord has made us co-heirs with Christ. We are heirs with God. We're going to reign and rule with him. He is both the pledge and the anticipation of what is to come. But, my brothers and sisters, we must just pause for a moment here and consider this word hope, the hope of glory. You know, I presume you know that hope is one of the words used in the New Testament for faith. Did you know that? There. Hope is not wishful thinking or you crossing your fingers like that or touching wood. That's not what the word hope means. No, hope, like faith, is real. It's objective. You see, let me explain to you when I say it's objective. The value of faith, you have faith, you believe in God. is determined by the object of faith, which is Christ himself. That's the value of your faith. And what makes saving faith saving is because Jesus Christ is the object of that faith. If he wasn't the object of that faith, it wouldn't be saving, because he's the Savior. And what makes this hope of glory real in our lives is our glorious Lord Jesus Christ himself. Hope, my brothers and sisters, is not hopeful longing or wishful thinking, but is objectively real in the person of Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. Hope is God bringing the future to you now. Hope is God bringing the future. Where are you going to go to and end up? He's bringing that to you now. Hope is not just anticipation or expectation. It is that. It is that for sure. But it's not just that. Your hope that you have this morning is a living hope. It's a hope that's alive in you. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." See, it's a living hope. We've been born into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, this living hope means we share now already in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This living hope means now, you and I, we've been kept by the power of God. That's what the Bible teaches. You must believe it. In other words, this living hope is working in your life. It's working in your faith right now. Your hope is alive, and it's working in you, and it's directing you forward into God's future grace. It's directing you forward into God's future promises. Why can I say this with confidence? Because it is Christ in you that's doing it. Your Savior is doing it for you. And now already we are sharing in the powers of the ages to come. Now that's an incredible statement, my brothers and sisters. Now already we are sharing in the powers of the age to come. Now in this life, today, God is working in you and directing you forward into God's future grace. Now we already share in this eschatological end time joy. Yes, now, today, in the Holy Ghost, we share in the righteousness, in the peace, in the holiness, in the forgiveness that has been promised to us in Jesus Christ. And it's true, I know, that we don't have the full down payment as yet. But already we're tasting it. We are. We're tasting it. Because Hebrews says, Hebrews 6 verse 5, listen, we have tasted the heavenly gift. What's that heavenly gift? It's Jesus. It's salvation. He's the gift. Indescribable. And we have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, who's God, the third person of the Trinity. Oh yes, he indwells us. That's what it means to be a partaker of the Holy Spirit. And we have tasted the good work of God and the powers of the age to come. We've tasted the powers of the age to come now on planet Earth. See, Jesus is the guarantee of our salvation. Peter says that you're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Jesus is the Savior of your soul. Jesus is the Bishop of your soul. Jesus is the worker of your salvation. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And so we realize this morning that hope is not wishful thinking, but hope is a word of faith. And the value of faith is made concrete in the object of that faith. And what gives our hope value, my brothers and sisters, is the indwelling Christ. God's riches are the expected and glorious end for those who are indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is a living hope because we are in union with Jesus Christ. Some call this the mystical union. Well, you may call it a mystical union, but I'm telling you this morning, it's a real union. And you already have the foretaste, the pledge of what is to come. Our hope is anticipated and expected, and its focus is on the future. Our redemption, my brothers and sisters, is going to be made complete in Jesus Christ. Every part of our redemption is going to be completed. You've got to believe that. God is going to redeem our body as well as our soul. And it's going to happen. Why? Because our redemption has already been purchased by Jesus Christ on the cross. Now you might be listening to me as a preacher and say, but Andre, I look at you and I see that you're growing old and you're growing weak and you're becoming decrepit. Well, that's true. But you see, there is coming a day when this body of mine is going to be raised, glorified and incorruptible. And the same applies to you. And we mustn't make the mistake of looking on the outward physical appearance. Because we're all growing old and we're all going to die. Paul says in Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so God is working eternal values in our soul as we grow older. The hope that God has given to us is the fullness and the finality of our redemption. That's our hope. Jesus himself is going to bring this about because he's the Redeemer. As simple as that. Listen carefully to me. The more we experience Jesus now, today, the more we will enjoy him and the greater our assurance is going to be. Our possession now of our hope becomes a foretaste of that which is ours as believers for eternity. And to have the indwelling Christ is to have peace and love and joy and pardon and power and purity. It's to have heaven begun now while on earth. It's to have heaven begun now while on earth. All the blessings that Jesus Christ has purchased for us belongs to us. So we ought to already be experiencing the powers of the age to come. Because Paul says that in Colossians 2 verse 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. What a hope, my brothers and sisters, we have. It's the hope of glory. And this glory, we must qualify this glory. This glory is speaking about our transformation. This glory is sharing in what God is going to give to us and do in us. You know, in our text in verse 27a, Paul speaks of the riches of the glory of this mystery. The riches of this glory is me living in the very presence of a holy God, fully accepted and loved and received as his very own child for eternity. Remember one very important thing about our hope. It's this. The Christ that we are going to have then, when we see him, we have now. It's true. The Christ that we are going to have then, we already have now. No difference. And this is how Paul speaks. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so the more we make of Christ, the more we can understand Christ, and the more we can enjoy our salvation now.
Here's the challenge to you this morning as I close. Are we, my brothers and sisters, think about this honestly. Are we living in the reality of who Christ is? Are we living in the reality of what Christ has done for us? Do you rest in the security of his kingship? Is the Lord Jesus, the imperial Christ, your confidence? You know, we can teach about sovereign providence, but when things go wrong in our lives, it's hard to believe in providence. But God says he's in control, and all things work together for good to them that love God. Nothing can befall you. Nothing can happen to you unless God permits it. He's the imperial king. He's our confidence. Do you know the peace of his atoning work of the incarnate Christ? Do you know the joy of his indwelling presence? Well, this is what I want to say. Let us live in the reality of what we say we believe. Many people out there look at our lives. They look at our speech and our behavior, and they're not persuaded about this Christ. In fact, our lives put us off for them believing. You see, the gospel is real. The gospel is real. Christ is real. I'm telling you, Christ is real. It's for us to know him, to take advantage of all the promises and the blessings that has been given to us in the gospel. That's our business, to know him. The imperial Christ, the incarnate Christ, the indwelling Christ are wonderful truths. These are the riches of the glory of the mystery that Paul the Apostle is speaking about, which are to have an effect and an influence in the very way that we are to live. A divine Savior who is all sufficient for all circumstances, for all places, for all times. He's your Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what Paul says in Colossians 3 verse 11. Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. That's true, congregation. It's true. It's true. It's true. Let's believe it and live by it. Christ is all and in all. Let us live in the reality of the supremacy and the primacy of Jesus Christ. As our priest, he is the imperial Christ who is our confidence. He is the incarnate Christ who is our peace. And he is the indwelling Christ who is our hope. Amen.